This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumisole. My Twitter handle is at Dumisole. Please follow and use the hashtag Country Duty. Today's show is going to be very interesting in my view, or maybe for even I go on. I'm rolling solo tonight from a presenter perspective, and I'm hoping you will accompany me on this journey and call me and WhatsApp me on 079-748-2090, 079-748-2090. You can also call me on 061-555-189, and I'll take on your tweets and use hashtag Country Duty as well. Today was very interesting. You'd have seen the budget and that times are hard. I'm not sure what it means for someone on the street, someone who really can't afford the basic needs and will now be faced with a situation where they'd have to incur a percentage on VAT. I think for the middle class peeps and stuff, that may well be affordable, but they're also going to feel some stretch. But it's going to be a very long journey. I think it was prudent for us to open with Tumamina from Prahu. And, you know, it sets the mission and the tone going forward. And with everything else that's happening in the country, we may well be on par with how things are. As I said, do send your WhatsApp on 079-748-2090. Send me your tweets at Dumisole on Twitter and to the fabulous Tigong at Ramichuene as well. Welcome. How are you?
You call me Tigom. I'm not Tigom.
Okay, how are you, Rami?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
I know you might just shoot me, but
anyway. Yes, I just might.
How are you doing?
I'm cool. How are you?
How's your week been since we last had a chat?
Busy.
Yeah.
We can't tell the difference. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. But it is what it is. What do you think of the budget?
Oh, is that what we're talking about today? Mm-hmm. I'm kidding.
We're talking Yonkinto, but yeah. But what do you think of it? Did you get a glance?
Yes, I did. The VAT thing. I'd even forgotten that VAT can actually go up, because the last time VAT went up was
1993.
Yes, somewhere. A long time ago.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, it's been 20 years, more than 20 years. Yes. And I'm like thinking, how did we get to this? I mean, I know it's just like one margin. It's just 1%. But that 1% is everything. If 1% of each and every taxpayer or anybody who consumes anything is, it's a lot of money. No, and I don't think the less fortunate are going to be happy about this. I think it kills them more than it kills anyone else.
It does. I mean, what effectively it means is robbing the poor to subsidize the poor to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, absolutely. I would have actually liked to get more punishment for inheritance tax, because we know who gets the inheritance.
True.
Right now we inherit black tax and
exactly,
problems. And we know who gets in, who inherits their father's farm, their father's wine estate, their father's house and homes, and all those beautiful money that is put away in trust funds, you know.
That's
so
true.
I think we should have taxed those people more.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the fact that, you know, your plus million, you know, earners, they're really getting a relief, but your lower end type of people, they're still feeling the pinch. I mean, for those who work in corporate or all over, they may have got an inflationary rate, but with this increases, I don't know if employers are going to go back and try and look at readjustments.
No, I don't think so, because I mean, it's like getting an egg. It's like asking you for an egg. I take your egg and I basically not even boil it. I simply paint it to make it look better, and then I give it back to you.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, we also, I mean, on our show, we had a discussion about free education. And people are now, you know, we need to talk about VET. We need to talk about the implications. But people, some people that I've seen, they said, you wanted free education, and now it comes with an increase on VET. And I think it's not necessarily true, because at the end of the day, free education is what it is. I mean, I think government should have looked elsewhere. They should have looked at the NSFAS surplus.
Yes.
They would have looked in monies that are, you know, been taken by provincial authorities.
Yes, absolutely.
And not even funding SOEs that are not doing well.
That's some of the money that Melusi Gigaba said they were going to kind of take. Like, there are a whole lot of companies like your Praza who underspent, and they were thinking of taking some of that money and spreading it across the board, and also kind of injecting it into these other fields that need more money than most. But I still think that might make a bit of a difference, but it's not like the biggest. But at the end of the day, the biggest difference is still going to come out of our pockets.
Yeah, and I hear you and I agree with you completely. So what do you think of Mr. Matamela Ramaphosa, who's now assumed office? I mean, last week when we had a chat, it seemed like it was a dream of some sort.
It was.
And now we're here, we have the new commander-in-chief, you know, of the country.
Yeah, and everybody now is like polishing their vendor. Kozimune never fui.
And
Bokoriminina.
Kakati is not there.
Kakatiauna.
Yeah.
Bakotagalati.
Itakati tea. We're trying. Do join our chat on Twitter. Using hashtag country duty at cliffcentral.com, tag at Dumisole and
at Ramitrini.
Great stuff. And we'll have a meaningful discussion as well. We have, as I said, a very interesting show. It talks to a host of things, but more importantly, empowering. But before we even, you know, have a chat with our guests, former Bafana Banyana captain, apologize, and her love for soccer and what it means for her. We have someone on the line who has a special request, who's going to tell us what, you know, how can we assist her and what it means. Her name is Didintle. She's on Twitter, but she'll explain more about her initiative. Didintle, hello.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show tonight.
Not a problem at all. If you could please just tell people who are listening and who most likely will listen via podcast, who are you and, you know, what you on about.
Okay, my name is Didintle Letlape and I am an accounting assistant in SAS. And then I've been selected to attend the Commonwealth Youth Summit, which is going to be hosted in London this year from the 16th to the 18th of April.
Okay.
And basically what this entails is that it is a forum which is used to promote cross-cultural connections and to achieve consensus among the youth leaders on policies required to address the challenges and opportunities facing young people addressing economic, political, environmental, and social issues.
Okay, and you know, how did you know about this program and how did it come about?
So last year I went to One Young World, which was in Colombia, in Bogota. I was selected to attend due to my leadership skills that I have displayed.
Okay.
So basically, once you're in that sort of things, like more opportunities get presented. So I was actually online looking for something that I could actually do to build up my skills.
Yeah.
And then I came across it and then I decided to apply and then I got selected.
Lovely.
So it was just me.
And what has this opportunity, I mean, being in Bogota and as you said, due to your leadership skills and stuff, what did it mean for you?
What does it mean for me?
What did it mean at the time and what does it mean now, given this new opportunity and potential of going to London?
Okay, so basically what it meant for me is it really opened me to other solutions, you know, other delegates being there, like what are you doing in your country and how can I come and implement it in my country? Yeah. So definitely the growth and the development in the leadership through the exposure to other countries and leaders has really ensured that I've embedded myself and the projects that I'm currently working on. So that's what it is.
Yeah, you speak of projects. What are those? I mean, for someone who's listening, other than knowing that you've been to Bogota and now you hopefully will go to London and for a leadership summit of some sort, what are these projects?
So I currently have a project in Soweto. So how it started basically is that we had a feeding scheme. Okay. And then I just felt that these kids were being taught not how to fish, you know. So what I did basically is introduce a program where they are taught social, entrepreneurial, and technological skills.
Okay.
And then I took it a step further because I could see that in order to break the mentality that the parents had to be empowered as well. So what it also did is that we provided the parents with skills for work to improve their work abilities. So we have CV programs.
Yeah.
And then, basic training in order to ensure that the parents can also get better jobs and lead a better life. So it focuses on improving the social conditions of both the parents and the kids.
Yeah. I mean, and how's the support been from a community perspective? You know, are you getting support and are people, or do people know about this?
So the support is there, not as much as I would love to be, but because we're still growing, I do believe that in due time, with involvement from government and other organizations, that definitely what I do want to, the vision that I have for this program, that it will manifest. So it's a matter of time and hard work and effort, and then it will manifest into what I want it to be.
All right. And I mean, for people who are listening, and given what you said you'd like to get assistance on regarding London, when is this program going to take place?
So it takes place from the 16th to the 18th of April.
Okay.
And then basically what I would need assistance with is raising funds, especially for my flight, because obviously the longer I wait, the more expensive it becomes.
Sure.
So the flight is the key thing, and then everything else will work itself out. So I'm looking to raise about, it depends, obviously, almost 15,000 for the flight.
Yeah. So for someone who's listening and wanting to get in touch with you, how can they contact you?
Okay, my email address is dilitlape@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And then my Twitter handle is dilitlape.
All right.
Now, okay, but then, you say you wanted 1-5 or 5-0?
15,000.
15, as in
1-5? Yeah, 1-5.
Okay, but then does that cover everything? Because I think sometimes you need to tell us how much you need for everything. I mean, I understand that you'd like to start some way, but someone might not have money for flights, but someone who runs a hotel, a lodge, whatever, might be listening, yeah, or who's got connections and say, we can accommodate you, for instance. And
that
then,
would be lovely.
You know, yeah, what I mean? So give us the whole, the whole amount, what you're looking at. So you need flights, you need accommodation, and what else do you need?
And money for the visa.
You don't deserve a visa, man. Just, I'm kidding. Okay.
Pull a bib for you, man.
You know, just say, guys, I'm great. Send me to Mamina. Okay. But now, how much is the visa?
Give us an accumulative amount.
Even if it's just estimated. Because 1-5 for me is that's not a lot of money. It's
doable. I'm sure through hashtag country duty that could be raised.
If we've got 80,000 or so followers.
Of course.
Ne?
Yeah.
And if everyone sent 1 rand to you, then you would still have that more and more. Enough. So how much do you need?
So I think, let's say roughly 25,000 should be enough.
Okay.
Okay.
Because the visa is 2790, and then flights, depending on the time that I book, it's 15,000 for now.
Okay.
And then accommodation would be more or less 1.5 per night.
Okay.
All right, guys, there she is, Didintle Letlape on Twitter, and you can send her an email, letlape@yahoo.com, right?
dletlape@yahoo.com.
Oh, yeah, dletlape@yahoo.com. All right, Didintle, we wish you the best of luck. Let's see what we can do, and let's see if we can get the country rolling and sorting you out somehow. But we wish you the best, and we hope it works out so you can get there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, guys.
More than welcome. Right, everything of the best. That was Didintle Letlape. She follows hashtag country duty, and she has a special plea. We'll put up her details soon through the official account, and just request her to explain more and give out her contact details. Before we welcome our guest, I think it would be prudent just to, you know, do a musical break and officially introduce our guest just now. What do you think, Rami?
You're the one who likes putting music, you know. You
but when I got woo, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, because, you know, by the time we get to the end, there's no time.
And I know.
We just might get a hold of things.
No, of course. I hear you, but I'm easy. I just want to, you know, clear the voice so that I can welcome the guests. So just the intro, it's like not even more than 5 minutes.
Excuse me? 5 minutes is two songs.
I said it's not even more than five minutes.
No, more like, can we play like 45 seconds of a song?
I'll think about it.
No. Let's just see. Play 45 seconds, please.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Baseli bonke etilongweni, baseli bonke kwano mbongo.
Listen to that song. I'm just wondering what we're ever going to have songs of Nangu, 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 Uzuma. Okay, maybe I'm just trying
spicy.
To control.
No,
you know?
I hear you. We need such songs, man. And given
do.
That he was a, and he still is, a leader in
his
song.
Own right. Yeah, I mean, in song. Yeah. I mean. I saw a tweet saying, "Futhi agaculilo Cyril Wayne." Agakwazukula. I was like,
"Guys,
people
no chill,
like, hey, they've got no chill. The spies there."
Welcome back to the Country Duty Show. I'm Tumi Swale on Twitter. I'm with Rami Chuen on Twitter as well. Please send us your messages on WhatsApp 0797482090. And without wasting time, I'd like to welcome our guests for today. A lovely guest. Normally what I normally do is to let them tell us who they are, and we'll then get on to the questions for the day. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you, Tumi, and thank you, Rami, for having me, and good evening to all the listeners. My name is Amanda Dlamini, and I'm the former captain of Banyana Banyana. And it's great to be in studio today.
Great stuff. Amanda is with Mzwesh, and Mzwesh is one of our Country Duty soldiers. In fact, we were introduced to Amanda by Mzwesh. Mzwesh, welcome.
Yeah.
Kiss the mic. Yes.
Yeah. Kiss the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we want.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, guys, for welcoming me. It's been quite a fascinating journey so far.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Great stuff. This is how I think we're going to do it. I recall you proposed something to us, and you said, listen, there's this interesting initiative, and I would like to put something together. How did you get to know about Amanda?
I've always been fascinated by Amanda's understanding of football, because she's a soccer analyst, you know, on one of the biggest TV channels. So I saw on Twitter, because, you know, we troopers, we're always trying to help people, you know, doing country week, country to work.
Yeah.
So I saw a very depressing visual of a young lady playing football without soccer boots, you know. Then I'll be like, I was like, oh, geez, man, this is like, this is not cool at all. And you could see the passion and all that, you know.
Yeah.
So I just tagged Amanda to say, hey, Amanda, can you help, you know, this lady, hashtag Country Duty.
Yes.
You know, then Amanda followed me back, and only to find that she's involved with the initiative through Amanda Dlamini Foundation.
Yes.
They give they help ladies with soccer boots in schools.
No, that's lovely. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you speak of the Amanda Dlamini Foundation. Perhaps, you know, Amanda can tell us about that foundation and stuff. Maybe before you even get onto the details, just give us a brief background about you, where you're from and the lowdown.
Well, I'm from KZN.
Okay.
In a rural area called Gwamakli.
Yes.
In Harding. And I have a younger brother. A loving family, very small and intimate family, but that's where I think the love of football developed.
Yeah.
I started playing with boys, funny enough, and I think all other girls also go through the same path of joining a small soccer team where it's just all boys.
Yeah.
And for me, it was nothing out of the extraordinary. I think we were just kids that loved to play football. And little did I know that some of the school teachers were actually keeping an eye on me, on the natural talent that I had. And I think slowly and gradually they then assisted in terms of getting a team. And I ended up moving from Harding to Durban, where I completed my high school and joined an all-girls team, which was Durban Ladies at the time. And then I found myself in Johannesburg, studying at the University of Johannesburg, and played university football until then. I think my debut in 2007 for Banyana Banyan.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's just been extraordinary, you know, and no turning back. I mean, you know, captaining such a team and with such responsibility, how has it been to represent South Africa?
Well, at first it was very tricky,
because
I never thought I'd captain a national team, because I was always, you know, the naughty one at the back of the line complaining about training sessions, sneaking sweets, chocolates and biltong in camp. But then I think the coaches saw something in me that I didn't think I noticed at the time, which those were leadership skills. And I think I embraced it through their support.
Yeah.
And it's been a roller coaster. But I think just the unity in the team, the understanding, the sisterhood amongst the teammates was something I think I drew inspiration from and strength from. Because you had to balance school at university, the expectations of playing, but also the responsibility of being a captain, of which I don't think is quite easy, but it was good. It was a good 2 years, and I think it was a dream come true.
No, that's lovely. Yeah, clearly you're on country duty throughout, you know, and it was just destiny for us to meet up with Mzwesh and stuff. I mean, he provided us with a very compelling you know, argument, and ordinarily people come in. What we always encourage is, you know, if there's a project that really is nation building and people are interested in it and you can run it, we give you that responsibility. And you know, what he put together was amazing. Amazing, and we're more than ready to meet up with you, and here you are.
That's great.
Actually, Amanda owes me. She knows.
Wow. Yeah. What did you promise her? Like, Amanda, what do you have to now pay this guy to, because he got you here?
No, not the money or anything like that. We don't roll like that.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to establish. Next thing you're like saying, just saying this on public platform, she owes you.
Like, because we want to do a campaign, you know, create an awareness campaign whereby we encourage big corporates, citizens to donate whatever that they can, soccer boots. And my part of the proposal that I put together for country duty included things like contributing to sanitary pads, you know, in rural, rural areas, because that's a challenge, you know, and giving it's like giving out warm clothes during winter or food, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because, Dumi, last year, you remember, we saw a visual of a destitute family in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
You know, those three kids and the mother, they can't afford to buy anything. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what, we're all hustling, trying to
make things happen. True,
but just a little time that we have, then we give back, you know, just we're going to be appealing to big corporates.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now, another thing that I want to ask, okay, I think I'm the complainer of the show. I'm the one who's always like complaining.
Yeah. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Do
your thing. You know, first, I mean, congratulations on your foundation, because I know starting a foundation is not easy. It's one thing to register something and call it, oh, Ramichwene Foundation, it sounds so nice. It's like, all of a sudden, I've got like some serious mayemonyana.
Yes.
But then there is so much hard work that goes into that.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you, Amanda, is that I mean, I know we talk about sanitary repairs, we talk about clothing, we talk about just like helping the destitute, the community. But then are you also looking into branching out, teaching football to young girls, and, you know, actually getting communities involved in sports, keeping the community healthy, active, the young ones, you know, off the street? Because I know from especially in KZN, for instance, let's just talk about KZN. I know there's like so many places there where like poverty is just your everyday thing,
yeah,
you know, and now you find that people are demotivated, they live in poverty, and nobody is reaching out to them. And sometimes it's not just about the money, but they need people who will come see them, be involved with them, teach them a few things here and there. But then with you obviously being the only beautiful one on that show on TV. Oh, I'm telling you, Shem, you're doing it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Are you disturbing me?
No, no, I'm not disturbing you. I just want to add, Slatela says, oh, my crush, my daughter. I'm listening.
You know what I mean?
So it's to your point, really.
It is. So, but then, so are you maybe hopefully like a bit like a few months down the line when everything is kind of like properly tailored, that you can also do some football coaching, especially for girls?
Yeah, like you are so correct. It's so difficult, you know, running and operating this foundation project, and at the same time you're still trying to find your feet in a different industry. You're trying to grow at the same time, and people look at you as this role model and expect so much from the foundation. Yeah. And I think one thing I've realized is that with the foundation process, it you always have a lesson out of every encounter that you have or engagement with a community or a school. Because when we started with the Amanda Dlamini Girls Foundation, it was to actually conduct coaching clinics at schools, primaries especially, and in the deep rural areas of KZN. And we then, throughout the years, we could see that, okay, maybe it's not enough.
There's also a need.
Yeah, there's a certain need, because if we coach the kids, when we leave, who's going to continue with that? So then it means we need to cater for the teachers in the schools. And then when they're not in school, they certainly have clubs that they need to join and play after school.
Yeah.
Then it means we need to reach out to the community and look for coaches who can be empowered. So then we would want to have those coaching clinics, but also invite the coaches, invite the teachers as to this is how we interpret training programs. And I think it's all about, again, rediscovering yourself and the foundation, because you won't be Amanda Dlamini that qualified for the Olympics, therefore I want to share my experience all the time. Want to grow from that.
Yeah, so you can also delegate other people. Absolutely. To help other people.
Yeah, and I think hence it was such I think a blessing to me to put them zwa.
The one you owe?
Allegedly.
Apparently.
Allegedly, apparently. Irregardless.
Yeah. So then that means there's a community of people out there that we also need to reach out to, because we can't do it alone.
Yeah. Okay. I know that we've had. Look at me talking more. We've got. I remember a couple of our soccer stars, and when I say soccer stars, I'm talking about male soccer stars, had their own foundations, and which were like funded. You know, they got immediate backup. You know, there was this other one associated with a shoe polish. This other one associated with one of the fast foods. This one, you know, this is like, there's a lot of things, you know. And I'm saying this without sounding like I'm complaining. I just feel like women's soccer has been compromised a lot. I'm just taking it back there. Because, like, for instance, Banyana, they hardly get sponsorship. You know, the money, the money that they earn, the sponsorship, people that back them up in terms of when they have to train. That is why, like, when there's a Banyana game, we hear the following day that apparently they won.
Yes. How?
Who were they playing? Yeah. No, they won this whole international World Cup. What are you like? What? When? How? Why was it not televised?
No, that's
you
true.
Know?
I mean.
But then we watch the derby all the time, every week. If it's not Chiefs, it's with Celtics. It's Chiefs with Pirates. If it is not all that, you know, it's, we've got even Maroka Swallows died and rose, died and rose and died and rose. And we knew about it.
I mean,
but women's soccer is not given a chance. And I am worried that if women's soccer is not given a chance, then people will not give like Amanda's foundation a chance, and we need to reach out to that and actually challenge them and say, we need you, because people keep forgetting that women are also builders. Women are also, they're the ones who hold communities together. But indeed. I mean, there's always this divide that separates us, that someone will think corporate have more faith in men than they would have in women. And I think that is totally unfair.
And I'm with you, and I agree with you. I mean, it's time. I think also VA has the country duty to promote such things and bring it to light. But I have a question for you, Amanda. I mean, what challenges have you experienced? You know, and to Rami's point, what difficulties have you encountered? And maybe before you even talk about difficulties, how many, you know, young girls in your foundation, and how's the experience been so far?
Well, I think the numbers will continue to rise, because we always go to primary schools. So yes. Maybe in one school we'll have 100 kids, and then we'll test them and maybe gauge them with other schools as to have a competition. But then I think by 2017 we had over 1,000 just in KZN. Hence we wanted to branch out and come to Joburg and start something here. I think that too, with the hope that maybe we'd get an immediate response.
Yes.
Maybe what we're doing is a bit hidden. But then it challenges us also to be very open about it and to just engage the right people. Yeah. And I think like Rami says, it's demoralizing at times, sure. To be honest. I think when we start an initiative like this one that we are doing with Country Duty, I think my main aim was to challenge the PSL guys. Yeah. Because we're always chatting on Twitter, we're always chatting on WhatsApp and your Instagrams, yes. But we never do something as a collective. Mm-hmm. And for me, it says, if you have a brand endorsement,
yes.
We know that you get 4 or 5 pairs of boots.
This
you
is can't the thing. Be
using
yeah.
And you wear all of them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Why don't you spare at least one pair of soccer boots or two? Because it's not like you get those 5 for the whole year.
Yeah,
you
correct.
Get 5 maybe almost a month, every month. So
yeah.
For me, hence I got the likes of Uhlompo on board and Pumlani Njangase from Wits to say, guys, maybe if we do it, to champion this thing, then the rest could follow.
True. No, and I think it's important, and you're raising important issues in that regard. It goes back to Rami's point. We need to support such initiatives. It's important to start from the ground. I think, you know, if we get it right at that level, it means that, you know, it becomes easier, and with opening access for the young ones and ensuring that there's accountability and participation. Mzoesh?
Yeah, but you know what's fascinating about this? I was going to touch up with Pumlane and what's his name? Hlompho Kekane. That they are players, reputable players, and they are brands on their own in their own right. And it just makes life easier, because the challenge is Amanda Dlamini Foundation. They look to Rami's point. She's a lady.
Of
you know,
course.
There's an element of patriarchy and all that, you know.
That's
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So I said when I was discussing with the team to say, you know, we can have campaigns, 3 campaigns using these brand ambassadors, including Amanda, to leverage, create awareness, you know, to
100%.
Say. And it's going to make football fans to see this foundation in a different way and identify with it, because that's the target market. So there are a lot of layers that we need to address. But
definitely.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to say, Tomza.
No, definitely. I agree with you, because I just think it's completely unacceptable that we still have to deal with issues like patriarchy right now, like so many years later. You know, like the struggle doesn't stop. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. But I think it is time for us to like consciously make a conscious decision, like, you know, to simply sober up and come to the party. And it doesn't, and it's not just about soccer, it happens in so many fields.
I absolutely.
Mean, even now, people, I remember just the other day, someone was complaining, was saying that they have to, if 2 people are having the same job, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, as a black woman, you struggle with your race.
Of course.
Then you struggle with the sex.
Of course.
Then you struggle with the cultural order.
Yes,
like the man is the head. You don't answer. Yes. Like
so there are obstacles. Really,
there's so many obstacles for us to go through before you even get there. But then there's like this like social. But then we've got the boys' clubs. Yeah. You know, when someone says, "Ah, I can pick up the phone and call my boy,"
exactly,
and you know, people know how to call their boys, and then, and you know, they kick us out because we are not the boys to be working with, to be dealing with, and then you end up having to smile a lot to the boy so that the boy can call the other boy to call the other boy to make things happen.
And it's very unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, guys.
It really goes to, as you correctly say, it's the same thing that most black people experience in corporate SA.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing that black businesses also experience.
Yeah.
And it's not really an isolated incident. And I think really if we start having frank discussions, we will get things going. And we must call it out for what it is. And I think, I know that some progressive white people who follow us on Twitter and believe in our causes know about these things and they want to discuss these things and make things happen. And I think we need to give them that space and platform and ensure that such things do happen. But so with your campaign and to your point, Amanda, what's been one of your highlights so far? I mean, with young little ones and them being energetic, what says... despite you know the negativity and how much it's taking up, what's been really some of the highlights and what really gets you going to always wanting to go back?
I think I reflect a lot through those sessions because I always identify myself in that little girl or boy.
Yeah.
Because I also remember that I think I was one of the two in my team that played barefoot for the longest of time. And it was okay back then. But I think the way society has picked up pace so fast, I don't think it's acceptable that there are still some girls that play barefoot, you know. And though, yes, we say they're in the rural area, so they cannot afford. But if you have the means, then do so. But I think for me, it's just driving that message to say, in a way, in South Africa, where it's difficult to get an education, sometimes your sport or that unique talent that you have is something that you could always rely on to get you wherever you can go. Because for me, I strongly believe that if it wasn't for the people in my community that pushed me to play football, I doubt I would have made it this far. But then at the same time, I kept in mind that I did want to finish my studies because at the same time, we want to eradicate that stereotype that footballers are uneducated.
Yeah.
And for us as females, like you said, we still have to finish school.
Yeah.
And then it's acceptable. The guys can just quit in high school and go play football because it's acceptable.
Yeah.
But for us, we still have to go to school, get a job as well, and then maybe we could allow you to play football and take it up as a profession. There's just so much that is just there. But I think if we can just continue with, you know, being the troopers that we are, to say there is someone that you can always look up to and maybe you could pursue this kind of journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sure.
No, I totally agree with you. Send us your messages on WhatsApp 079-748-2090. In fact, we just got a tweet now and I'll just read it. It talks to some of the issues that we're discussing now on the show. And it says, you know, it's very true when it comes to obstacles and stuff, and it's time that we have these frank conversations. This is Ed Vula Sandla, and he says, we actually need a country duty national radio / TV station open. The sooner we start about fundraising, the better. There are too many rivers to cross in our society. True. Dealing with police killing, with recklessness, abandonment of people, lack of respect for women, education, child neglect, LGBT rights, corruption, land, and the list
go on.
Think this tweet really hits home because that's exactly what we're talking about. So over and above dealing with barriers to entry and also talking about the boys' club, the other things that one need to be aware of, and I mean, with what we're dealing with, I mean, you guys would have seen about those cops who were attacked in Eastern Cape. I mean, how do people come to a police station and gun down six or so cops? It doesn't make sense. So there's crime element, you're most likely to be targeted because you happen to not be male, you know what I mean? And those are societal issues that needs to be dealt with and properly encountered. And I think it's for us to do everything possible to ensure that we move the conversation and we hold people going forward.
Okay, and now just moving a bit from the foundation and football, when Amanda. Oh, by the way, you can follow Amanda at Amanda_Dlamini9.
Okay. Thank you.
The number. Yeah. Yes. Please follow her. And please don't just tell her how pretty she is. Send her money too.
Yes. It's a money iwalat.
Rekopa it's a mali iwalat. It's a mali lidi EFT. But you know, we need to make this foundation really, really successful because it is really important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is quite important. Now I just wanted to move away from that and just get her. Okay, fine. We're now from this small family, how you grew up and how you'll be like that girl playing with the boys. But what has been your wildest dream? And if any, how far have you come to achieve it? You know, I mean, when you're a soccer player and you play for the national team already, that's like a dream come true. But yeah. I'm sure you've had some of your wildest dreams, things that you never thought or you could imagine that you'll actually get there at a time when you started. And what has the journey been like? What are those things that you actually look back and go like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that actually happened?
Yeah. Well, for starters, analyzing football. Yeah. And to be honest, as much as I played football, still play football, I never used to like watching football at all on TV. So I hardly would ever watch what is happening in the BPL or in La Liga or whatever, because it just didn't interest me, I guess. I don't know how. But then here I am being asked to now analyze a big soccer tournament, the CAF, and everyone is watching Bafana at home, and there I am, inexperienced as I was.
Yeah. Wow.
But I just had to speak my mind. I think I trusted myself enough that I listened to the team talks, in the change rooms and in the boardrooms, and I think that helped me a lot. But I think I'd always wished that my mom would get on a plane and fly overseas to come and watch me play. And that actually happened.
Yay.
Lovely.
That's awesome.
2012 in London Olympic Games. Yeah, she was there. And I guess like when you say wildest dreams,
yes,
never ever imagined.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's such a beautiful story. Yeah. You know, you're thinking, get on a plane. Hey, Munaro, so try organize a kulula just to get one from Devon. to Polokwane or to Polokwane to Joburg. Sure. And you know, seeing something like that being realized, it must have been meant everything to you. And that is quite amazing. And I remember I think I watched your first commentary on no, why are you blushing? Why are you blushing?
This should be interesting.
Do you remember what happened?
Perhaps, but maybe before you put her on the spot, I think it's always better.
Let's hear it from
what
her.
Happened. You know, from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
If anything, it's one of those things.
How was it? Tell us. Come now. Oh look, she's
couldn't.
Guys, let me just tell you because you can't see her. She is blushing. She has her hand over her eyes and she keeps shaking her head and she's laughing hysterically and she's about to get tears rolling down her face.
It must have been a lovely one, though.
Yeah. Please, sure. Please come now. Come now, do it, girl. Tell us. You know you wanna tell us. Tell us.
Oh, nothing out of the extraordinary. I'm lying. No ways. I got into studio and there was Robert. I couldn't believe it.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
And
wow. Okay, what's going to happen? Guys, like when I had to introduce myself, I couldn't. I stumbled over my words and my heart was just in my throat.
Yeah.
I couldn't say a word and I thought that maybe because the mic was right up my shirt, I'm thinking maybe someone can hear it. I just couldn't.
We could actually hear your heart.
Oh no.
I remember that day. Yeah. Let me tell you. Guys, Amanda was literally 5'2" saying, "Hi, my name is Robert." Just so that you know. Like, she was so nervous.
Yeah.
But you know what I love about that? Look, I'm the one who's laughing because I remember that moment. What I love about that day is that she was so nervous, but you know, you actually held your own. I mean, the first commentary, when you introduced yourself, you could see that. I mean, you were so overwhelmed. It was your first time. And I don't know who did your makeup. You looked so beautiful. She was fleeking. The boys kept on saying, tweeting, "Who's this girl? Who's this girl?" You know? And what I liked is that as the show started warming up, and then you'll be talking, and then the boys will try to cut in, and people will tweet, "Stop talking! We want to hear what
she said.
And the people, they were like so surprised that they were like, "Oh my God, she's not just a pretty face; she knows what she's talking about."
No,
and I'm like, "Of course she would know. She is a player, you know." But people was just so overwhelmed, so excited. Everyone was just rooting for you. Were honestly excited for you. It looked beautiful having you there. I mean, as much as you were like just overwhelmed by Robert, I think Robert was also overwhelmed by you.
Yeah.
So there's no need for you to blush. I think he went home and went like, "Wow, there's a woman commentator in studio."
Exactly.
And it was so wonderful because the first time I didn't know that you were going to come back because they were like, "We have a guest commentator." Mm-hmm. You know, just like a guest. Mm-hmm. Then we see that, okay, she came back. Oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And you know what? You're doing quite well. So I'm very excited for you. And congratulations. But I saw your first episode, your first nightmare commentary. Yeah.
Sure.
And I can't believe you're still blushing today.
but I think, you know, to your point, Rami, this talks about opportunities where one is given a chance and embracing it.
Yeah.
But also just touching lives and it, you know, making a difference. And she really has been that epitome, you know,
has definitely moved
it. And I think it's very important. And once again, we call out to people listening. I know some are listening live. Some will hear this podcast and stuff. Do get in touch. See what you can do and do your country duty. This will go a long way. It deals with more societal issues and breaking, you know, rank with patriarchy and everything. And she's here and she's, you know, pleading and saying, do what you can. And I know that the sponsors who listen to the show, Corporate SA, it's a good initiative.
Yeah.
Most of you are approaching your financial year end. You need to spend that budget.
We know it.
You know, an opportunity to invest in such
7 days.
We can
do amazing things in 7 days.
100%.
So let's see what happens. You know, by the time we hit the financial year end, and you know, let's do great things together, guys. It means a lot. So, guys, please get hold of Amanda_Dlamini9.
Yes, mm-hmm. and the official country duty is
still blushing, guys.
The official country duty ZA account has tweeted the details to the foundation and what it means.
Yeah.
Check it out and see what can you do and doing your country duty. Mzoesh, I mean, you'll be, you know, in it and ensuring that it happens. We are in Feb. We obviously want to see, and without putting pressure on you, a timeline of events. Let us know well in advance. Let's support this huge initiative, and let it be on people's faces, you know. And let's do what we can.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if we get something like look at what Drogba is doing back at home, guys?
Yeah,
can happen here.
And we can do that.
We can really
do that. It's doable. Mm-hmm. It's obtainable. It is so tangible. It is possible. There's nothing stopping us, and I think it's something that we need to throw our weight behind.
Now, what I like is the guys that because I don't work with Amanda directly,
of course.
Yes, the guys that I work with when we have our brainstorm sessions, we have quite a lot of ideas. We just need to finalize a few things.
Yeah.
So the campaigns will kick off sooner, very very soon. You know, because we're looking at partnering with other former football players. Like, for instance, to me, and you know that Poshe Modise scored 100 goals, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
And no one has done that in South Africa.
What's that? Yeah.
But we're celebrating on Shaba's goal, you know, not taking anything from, you know, on Shaba.
Call it out as it is.
But like, I'm just saying, the way our society is wired, you know.
Yeah.
Someone's
because actually no one has ever scored 100 goals.
No,
ever.
No.
Male or female.
Exactly. So, when you look at overseas, when there are these awards, they celebrate their own. Here in South Africa, it's a challenge. We don't celebrate our own, you know, to say, wow, what a milestone. So, but we're going to be doing quite a lot of fascinating things. And I have to say, Amanda puts my understanding of the game into shame because her analysis is so on point. Okay, how did she see that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I enjoy... Like, she's putting other gentlemen there analyzing the game to share. I'm like, wow, she's on point because I was chatting to her. I said, tell me, did you do any coaching?
Yes.
You know, like, she has done a few courses because she's so on point.
So for some of us who are not really soccer fanatics,
Hashem, speak for yourself, Sudi.
I said some of us.
Yeah,
so
she can teach you.
Say people like me.
Okay.
Because
in studio,
you're like generalizing now.
You know, is there a 101 yana maybe? You know, of starters like myself.
I think so too. In fact, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
If you pay 1,000 rand, you can just get 101.
Yeah.
We must do the derby. It's on the 3rd.
Yeah.
I want just basics.
I know
that we're now talking Chiefs and Pirates and stuff. There'll be tons of other games where we're supporting. I think it would be great that we go there and we do basics. Offside, you know, this is what it means and stuff like that.
You don't even know offside.
No, I know offside.
Okay.
So that's not a problem.
Okay.
And please.
But do you know when it's... What do you mean? I played soccer at school.
I believe you.
Trust me. I know my throw. I know my throw in from my corner. Okay? I know my 18 area from midfield. Okay?
Yes.
I know defense. I know strikers.
I'm
just saying.
Sounds like little.
Me in the 18 area. No. Yeah. Not that. No. I do know my football game.
Okay.
I know my football. I know my leagues.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are not there. But I think really this is a positive campaign and it's important and we'll definitely support it as Country
Duty.
We will punt it as much as we can. And I think you know, with this partnership and relationship, this really says we're going to go far and we're going to change how you know, the stereotypes and how people have perceived certain things. It's really for us to make that change and it starts now. For me, a black child in the township and stuff has an opportunity to also rise and be another Amanda who's able to tell her own stories and how it means or it has meant for her, and it's us South Africans who can do this and who can take it forward. So as we said, please follow at Amanda_Dlamini9. Pop questions on anything. Follow us on hashtag Country Duty at Country Duty ZA and let's get it going. We've done tons of projects and it was through your support. This is also a plea to you to please support us on this great initiative.
When they slide to DMs, they must be proper. No chacharach tendencies.
We don't want chacharach tendencies. But we've come to the end of the show. It's been absolutely real having you, Amanda, here. And I'm glad that I reminded you of your beautiful story. I think that has been amazing. But and thank you so much, Mswa, for bringing Amanda here, and let's hope we can do great things together. But guys, that has been us. Keep talking to us on 0797482090. That's on WhatsApp. Follow us on at Country Duty
ZA
and hashtag Country Duty so that we can see how far we can go. But I have a going out song, and which I think is absolutely appropriate, which I love, and I'm gonna play it now because Dumi likes choosing boring songs. Alright, and that has been Country Duty.
Okay, can I just say goodbye?
We'll see you next week. Say goodbye quickly.
Thank you for listening and catch up next week Wednesday.
Absolutely.
This is CliffCentral.com.